All right. Happy Mother's Day. Who has a mom? All right. It's good to know when your message has a broad application, right? Who has their mom with them this morning? All right. What a blessing that is. I don't know why I'm raising my hand. My mom is not with us this morning, but Chad, we can go to that first slide, please. There we go. That is a 20-year-old Rob Foster with his mom on his wedding day. Yes, and that was actually a really cool tux to wear in 1981, in case you're wondering. My mom passed away in 2012, so she's not with us this morning. But I do have some other special moms in my life who are with me this morning. We'll go to this next slide. You might know her as the friendly lady who greets you every Sunday. Yes. This is my mother-in-law. What a blessing she has been in my life since I met her 38 years ago. Treated me like her own son, and I couldn't be possibly more blessed with my mother-in-law. And of course, the most beautiful and treasured mom in my life. Next slide. Yes, there she is. The hair gives it away. That's 1988, something like that, when Nolan was 2 years old. So what a blessing it is to watch my wife mother our children. Okay, so you could probably get her slide off there. You know, really, if you guys want to come up and say a few words about motherhood and just... What a blessing it is to celebrate Mother's Day. But as Nathaniel prayed just a few minutes ago, there's no denying that Mother's Day is a kind of a mixed bag of emotions, right? You might be like me. Maybe your mom is no longer with you, and so Mother's Day brings up some sorrow. Maybe even this is the first Mother's Day you've ever celebrated without your mom. Maybe you would love to be a mom, and that is a dream that you've had your whole life, but for whatever reason, God has not made that possible for you. Or maybe just memories of your mom aren't so special. So there's all kinds of emotions that we think about as we celebrate Mother's Day. But even with all of that, it's still right for us to set aside a special day to honor and to celebrate moms. Wouldn't you agree? Well, I think it would be good then to affirm who it is that we have in our audience who is a mom. So this is a highly scientific test that I devised through long study, which mainly involved typing in top 10 mom-isms into Google. So these are 10 questions that affirm your identity as a mom. So I'm going to need your help on this one, Mom. These are typically things that you swore you would never say when you were a kid, but find yourself saying. So here we go. Finish this sentence. I'm going to give you until the count of three. Why is it three, right? Why isn't it seven or two? But it's three. Number two, finish this sentence. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt, someone loses an eye. Me and my brothers heard that a lot. Okay, this is multiple choice, so don't answer, just listen. Don't make me, A, come up there, B, pull this car over, C, give you something to cry about, or D, all of the above. Yeah. Number four, finish this sentence. If you make that face for too long, it will... Yeah, say that way, freeze that way. A mom favorite? Only a mom favorite. If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? Yes. Number six, shut the door. Were you born in a barn? I don't know anything about barns, but apparently you don't shut the door. I don't know what is. Okay, here's one. This is like kryptonite to a mom. Teenagers, listen carefully. You don't want to hear your mom say this. Don't roll your... Yes. Here's one me and my brothers heard often. It hurts me more... Just before the paddle, right? And of course, the secret weapon of all moms everywhere, number nine. Why? Because I said so. There's no more argument after that. And number 10, also multiple choice. I will always, A, be there for you, B, believe in you, C, love you, or D, all of the above. There is nobody like a mom, is there? No one has that special place in our lives. And moms, if you hear nothing else this morning from what I'm about to say, I hope that you hear that what you are doing as a mom really matters. That alone is worth celebrating. But I want to point you to an even higher purpose for being a mom this morning. And if you are a note taker, there's an outline in your bulletin, and you can fill in that first blank with this. Moms are created in the image of God. Moms are created in the image of God. And we're going to go right back to the beginning and start with this basic premise and build on it. So while you're writing that in, or if you're not, turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And right here at the beginning of the scripture, the Bible speaks very plainly and very clearly about the exceptional position held by human beings. People hold a very special place in the universe. The only creatures among all that exists that were created in the image of God himself. Now, there's a lot of discussion about exactly what that means. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? At the very least, it means that we are created with a capacity for relationship. And we are uniquely designed to bear God's resemblance, to reflect God. There's people, male and female. One category, two distinct kinds. Both designed in their own way to bear testimony to God's glorious nature and His character. So my contention, starting with this truth, is that when God wants to show us certain things about Himself, He uses moms as the visual aid. When God wants to teach us certain things about Himself, He uses moms as the visual aid. Now, let me offer a couple of caveats on that, because some of my language, even the title of my message, might be making some of you nervous. So I want you to be able to listen to this message without distraction, so let me tell you what I am not saying. First, I am not diminishing the impact of sin. If you know anything about the Bible, you know that through our first parents, Adam and Eve, sin entered the garden, and its impact was immediate. And it was tragic, and it was comprehensive. All aspects of human existence were forever altered. But I am saying that even in our fallen state, even though it is marred and distorted and ravaged by sin, that original purpose, the reflection of that image, dim as it might be, can still be seen. And we'll see how the Bible acknowledges that this morning. So that's first caveat. Second, I am not contradicting the masculine nature of God. Clearly, in His revelation, God uses exclusively masculine terms to refer to Himself. Through the Bible, He teaches us how to speak of Him, and it is in masculine relational terms. But what I am saying is that from time to time, throughout Scripture, when God wants to teach us certain aspects of His character, when He wants us to understand certain things about Himself, He does so by pointing to characteristics that can most explicitly be seen in a mom. And moms, this is the higher calling and the unique purpose I want to point you to this morning. When you walk out of this room and back to all the challenges, right, that come along with motherhood, I want you to walk out with a greater sense of dignity of affirmation, of purpose, encouragement, and hope. So with all that out of the way, let's jump right into the heart of this message. Moms are created in the image of God. Second blank on your outline. Moms reflect this image in a unique way. Moms are created in the image of God, and moms reflect this image in a unique way. That's the main point of this entire sermon, that there are certain aspects of God's character most accurately reflected by moms. Four examples. Get your Bibles ready, because we're going to be turning to different passages. First, God as the source of all things. God as the source of all things. When God wanted to emphasize that He is the source of all things, whether He's speaking of creation in general or He's speaking of His raising up a people for Himself, He often uses the imagery of a mother. Listen to what He says about creation in Job chapter 38. You don't need to turn there. So we'll be going to another passage in a moment. But listen to what He says about creation in Job 38, verse 29. From whose womb did the ice come forth? And who has given birth to the frost of heaven? There's not a lot of mystery in that verse, is there? God is asking Job a rhetorical question. Who is the mother of ice? Who gave birth to frost? He's using the imagery of a mom to make the point that all things in creation find their source in God. Okay, turn with me to Deuteronomy. If you're still in Genesis, go to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. This portion of the scripture is a long speech by Moses, often called the Song of Moses. It's at the end of his life and is actually a rebuke to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 32:18 is what we'll be reading together. Moses says to Israel, "You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth." Now, if you're reading the New International Version, you notice that the first half of that sentence refers to the rock that fathered you. So come back on June 19th and we'll address that. But this is Mother's Day, so we're going to focus on the second half of that verse. In a stinging indictment, Moses says to the nation, "You forgot the God who gave you birth." And I think this is the original source of that saying used by mothers throughout the ages, right? I brought you into this world, and I can take you back out. God reminded His Old Testament people of that more than once, didn't He? I brought you into this world, nation of Israel. How can we not give honor to the one who gave us birth? That's the obvious sentiment of this statement by Moses. God wants us to remember that He is the source of all things. And to do that, He uses moms as the visual aid. Second, God as faithful and compassionate. God as faithful and compassionate. You can write that in the blank and then turn to Isaiah. Go right from Deuteronomy, past the Psalms, into the prophets, and come to the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at chapter 49. In this passage, God is going to use the picture of a new mom to make a point about His extreme faithfulness and His compassion on His people during a time when they were going through suffering. So you there, Isaiah 49. Let's look together at verse 15. God says through the prophet, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will never forget you." I mean, what's the implication of that verse? Isn't it saying that the idea that a mom would forget her newborn son is unthinkable? That a mom of a newborn baby is a picture that illustrates the ultimate level of devotion and compassion and loyalty? I mean, that's the point he's making, right? And yet, if it were possible, God says through Isaiah, His faithful love and unfailing compassion even goes beyond that extreme. It exceeds even that of a nursing mother for her child. That's how awesome it is and how much God can be counted on despite our difficult circumstances. So God wants us to remember that He is the faithful and compassionate one. And to do that, He uses moms as His visual aid. Okay, next. God illustrates a point with a different kind of mom. In this case, a mother bear, to underscore His fury. You can fill in the blank like this: God as a fierce defender. And we're not going to turn to this passage, but in Hosea, the 13th chapter, God warns His people through the prophet that He will defend His own glory with a ferocity that matches that of a mother bear defending her cubs. I mean, this is a familiar analogy in our culture, isn't it? Don't get in between a mother bear and her cubs. I mean, here's an example, a contemporary example from my favorite comic strip, The Far Side. If we could get that next slide, Chad. Hey, you see these two boys are throwing a bear cub up in the air, and off in the distance, the mom has just figured out what's going on. And the caption says, "No one ever heard from the Anderson brothers again." When I was writing this message, this memory came to me, and I hadn't thought about this for years, and I don't even know how old I was when this happened. I must have been maybe like 3, because I was still living in Minnesota. I have a brother who's 20 months older than me, and we were at some house, don't even remember whose house, and behind this house was a creek. That's how I knew we weren't in California, because there was water. And my mom and, you know, her, this other woman were up on the porch, you know, doing what moms do when they get together, probably drinking coffee or iced tea or something. And my brother and I had wandered down the slope to the bank of this creek, and we're messing around. And my brother slipped on the mud on the bank of the creek, and as he went into the creek, he screamed. And in my memory, I just see this blur come out of nowhere, boom, down the slope, over the bank, into the water, and snatches my brother out of the water and throws him up on the bank. And I remember thinking, I didn't even know my mom could run, much less do something like that, right? That creek was taking her cub away, and she was going after it with a vengeance. So whether it's a creek or the neighborhood bully or an abusive coach or a literal enemy attacking you, it's common knowledge that it's dangerous to get between a mom and her kids, isn't it? I can see some of you moms sitting up a little straighter. It's like, yeah, don't let me go all mama bear on you. And you know, this specific example in Hosea that I'm referring to, that's a warning and a rebuke. But I personally take great comfort in the idea that God is like a mother bear. And He will exercise His wrath to defend what is important to Him. So God wants us to remember that He is our fierce defender. And in order to communicate that to us, He uses a mom as the visual aid. Lastly, I think in what could be one of the most wonderfully intimate portraits of God in the Scripture, through the lens of motherhood, we see God as our tender comforter and protector. God as our tender comforter and protector. After you've written that down, if you're still in Isaiah 49, turn to your right to Isaiah chapter 66. In this passage, Through the prophet Isaiah, God is encouraging His people with a vision for the promised future of Jerusalem. That's what the context of this passage is. God is writing words of encouragement regarding His vision for a promised future for Jerusalem. And He says to them, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12, "For thus says the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her, to Jerusalem, like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you. You will be comforted in Jerusalem." You know, I read that and just a very specific image comes to my mind. You saw a picture earlier of our firstborn, our oldest, Nolan. And at the time when he was born, we were living in a house in Orange. And the nursery was directly across from the master bedroom. So, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and Kathy wouldn't be in bed, but I'd hear the soft strains of Sleep Sound in Jesus CD coming from the nursery. And if I was to get up from the bed and walk to the edge and peer into the nursery, what I would see would be Kathy sitting in a rocking chair, Nolan wrapped snugly in a blanket, a soft light illuminating them both, and her rocking gently back and forth with just the most tender, compassionate look on her face. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Do you picture God like that? Do you see Him as the one who's ready to wrap His arms around you and tenderly comfort and protect you like a mother does her small child? You know, Jesus personified this tender desire to shield and comfort and protect His people. It's recorded in Luke chapter 13. Jesus looks down on the city of Jerusalem, and you can hear the anguish in His voice as His own people reject Him. And they reject His tender embrace and His loving provision. He cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." I mean, in this verse, Jesus likens Himself to a female bird who wants to spread her wings over her chicks as they scurry to her for comfort and for shelter and for protection. God as our tender comforter and protector, personified by Jesus, that's a blank on your outline, then imitated by His followers, in particular by the Apostle Paul. So turn with me, let's look at this. Let's go to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Personified by Jesus, imitated by Paul. Past the Gospels, Acts, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at chapter 2. If you know me pretty well, if you've ever been on a trip with me, you already know which verse I'm turning to, don't you? Paul is writing to this young Thessalonian church, and here's what he's doing in this letter. He's recalling the experience that they had together when Paul and his team were with them. And he's describing in this passage the attitude and the approach that his team had in ministry. And listen to this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Paul writes, "We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. And listen to those words. Gentle, affectionate, sacrificial, loving. Like a nursing mother slowly rocking her infant wrapped safely in her arms. Is that the picture you typically have in your mind of the Apostle Paul? Right, this fiery missionary, right? He was becoming more and more transformed into the image of his master, wasn't he? So, brothers and sisters, I think the challenge that I want to bring to you is, what picture comes to your mind this morning when you think of God? So just think about that for a minute. What picture comes to your mind this morning when you think about God? Whatever it is, can I encourage you on this Mother's Day to make sure it includes these aspects of His character: the source of all things, faithful and compassionate, a fierce defender, and as we just considered, our tender comforter and protector. When God wants to tell us, when God wants to show us these things about Himself, He uses moms as the visual aid. Well, one last point, and then we'll be done. Yes, it's true that moms, by their very nature, represent God in a unique and powerful way, but there is an important qualifier, isn't there? And a powerful caution. Because Mama Bear can become a terror, can't she? Mama Bear can become the terror of the cul-de-sac, the terror of the home, the terror of the Little League field. And doting mother can become Mommy Dearest when things don't go according to plan. So even though moms are so awesome, we don't want to gloss over the very real truth that our capacity as image bearers is warped and diminished by sin. So that's the final point on your outline. Moms shine brightest when aligned with Jesus. Moms shine brightest when aligned with Jesus. We always need to circle back to that original purpose, don't we? Original purpose for moms, original purpose for all people. Remember Genesis 1:27. Human beings, male and female, dads and moms, created in what? The image of God. For relationship and to reflect His nature and character to all creation. When I think of this idea, I always think of the sun and the moon. Think about it. Why can we see the moon? Can we see the moon because it gives us any light of its own? No, right? We only see the moon as it reflects the light from the sun. And when can we see the moon the best? It's when it is directly facing the sun, right? Fully exposed to its brilliant light. And as moms, as we've just discussed, that is your ultimate purpose. That when people look at you and how you conduct yourself as a mom, that they would learn more about who God really is. And it doesn't take much introspection for any of us to realize we fall short of that ideal, does it? It isn't true just for you as moms, it's true for all of us. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Even on Mother's Day, that's true for moms. But instead of letting that be a discouragement for you this morning, let me instead bring you some good news. God has done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And when Paul uses that phrase, in Christ, he's talking about being united with Him, being identified with Him, being hidden in Him. This is a description of people who have come to God acknowledging that they are who He says they are, that they're sinners, that have said, you know what, there is a way to live that seems right to me. The Bible talks about that. It says there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, But that way ends in death. And to come to the fact point where you realize, you know, following my own way is leading me to death. I'm going to instead repent. I'm going to turn away from my own way, and I'm going to begin to follow God. I'm going to accept the revelation of what He says about me and what He says about Himself and how I can come to faith in Him. And then we come to the point where we believe that when Jesus died on that cross, when He hung on that cross, it was our sin that placed Him there. We identify with Jesus as the one who perfectly fulfilled the law of God in our life, in His life, in our place, and then who died a substitutionary atoning death for us, for our sin. And then we joyfully receive what He offers to us. By faith, He offers us eternal life, forgiveness of sins. And when that happens, when we're in Christ, the Bible says that His Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. His Holy Spirit gives us a new capacity. This new spiritual reality is described by Paul in his letter to the church at Colossae. He writes in chapter 3 that we are to put on the new self, and then listen, put on the new self which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. In other words, when we receive Christ and when His Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, His Spirit then begins to transform us day by day so that the reflection that people see in us is more accurately a reflection of our Creator. We're being renewed, our capacity is being increased, the reflection of the image of God is shining brighter and brighter. That's what Paul wrote to Ephesians in chapter 4. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So yeah, moms are pretty special. But this special role is only fully realized in Christ. Moms shine brightest when they are aligned with Jesus. So moms, I want to finish this morning by praying for you in a couple of very specific ways. But before I do that, I want to invite the worship team to come up front, wherever they are. And here's how I want to pray, if I could just have your attention for another moment. First, I want to pray that you would have a new sense of the honor and dignity that God bestows on you as a mom. Second, that you would leave here this morning encouraged as you pursue your calling as a mom, that you will reflect the goodness and the glory of our Creator in a unique way. But most importantly, third, that regardless of where you are and what emotions and thoughts are on your mind during this Mother's Day, that you would know that your faithful, compassionate, tender God is ready to be your comforter, defender, and protector this morning. So, let's climb up in His lap and feel His strong arms embrace us. Maybe you were going to do that for the very first time right now as we pray. Let's pray. Father, I do want to specifically pray for moms this morning. What a wonderful picture you give us in your word of the dignity and importance that you place on the role of mother. Father, I want to pray for moms that all kinds of situations are represented in this room. And Father, would they feel your tender touch on them even now as they consider maybe some of the challenges they're facing as moms, some of the discouragement they're feeling as moms, some of the weariness they're feeling as moms, Lord, that they would feel encouraged by your Spirit to persevere in serving in that role. And Father, that you will testify of your greatness and goodness through them as they do so. But most of all, Lord, I just feel a tremendous burden for anyone here who doesn't understand your tender, loving compassion, that you want to gather your children to yourself. Father, you want to create in us a new people who follow you not under some duress or not under some threat of punishment, but instead we recognize that you are a good God and that you have good things for your children. So anyone here who doesn't know you through faith in your Son, I pray that even now, even this morning, your Spirit would be revealing to them what it means to confess their sins, place their faith in Christ, and be born again as a new creation. Father, we thank you for moms. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for this time to meditate on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.